Morning, SP. My name is Amy, and I lead Go House Church with Chris. Let me start with the prayer from the One app. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your only Son, Jesus, who reigns with gentleness, humility, righteousness, and mercy. We pray for your help in shaping us, and let us be the beautiful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses from 1 to 11, and I will read the One app version. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." After I read this verse, I closed my eyes and tried to imagine the picture of Jesus on a donkey coming into the city and people greeting him by waving branches. It's like a scene where the soldiers come back from a war and people wave flags at them. Jesus is a king and people are excited to greet their hero, rescuer, and savior. So they cried out Hosanna, which means save. But we see a king very different from the usual leaders of the world. He's not surrounded by bodyguards, or he didn't come on the fancy chariots or horses with trumpets. He asked for a donkey and entered the city on a colt, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9-10, which reads, "King comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey on a colt." He's publicly claiming he's a king, but as a humble servant king, ready to sacrifice for us to glorify God. People cheered for him and greeted him with Hosanna because Jesus was already quite famous. He showed many signs and wonders by healing people. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He fed 5,000 people. But his miracles were to glorify God and out of his kind and compassionate heart. It was not for his own glory to gain popularity or approval from others. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it reads, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Jesus' serving heart and his humble sacrifice show he is our greatest example of glorifying God in all that he does. Before we say a word or before we do things, if we can only pause and remember that we are representing the followers of Christ and live to glorify God, then I believe we can be humble like Jesus. And when we are humble, we will naturally be kind and gentle to others, and we will serve others. It's all connected. One of my close friends has been working as a flight attendant in Korea for over 20 years now. So I asked her, "Who's the most difficult passenger?" And she said, "Well, it's usually middle-aged Korean men who work as an executive in a big Korean company." I was surprised, so I asked her why, and she said, "Well, because a lot of them have this 'Do you know who I am?' mentality and order things around in the plane." Automatically, I remember reading a news article years back of this one executive who complained in the business class on the way to LA. He complained his seat next to him was not empty. He complained he didn't like any of the food in the menu. So he asked for the instant ramen and then complained the ramen wasn't cooked properly, so they had to make it for him 3 times. And he was still not satisfied. Eventually, he hit a flight attendant's face with the book. And when they landed in the U.S., he was handed over to the FBI for physical violence. It became a huge news in Korea, and obviously, he was let go from the company. interesting fact is that it has only been 1 month since he was promoted as an executive before this whole plane incident happened. Perhaps he felt he worked so hard and took a long time to become executive. He felt he deserved royal treatment and recognition, or he could just order others around. Of course, this is one of the most extreme cases, and I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but clearly his actions were not humble, and we did not see our servant's heart. But even as a Christian, if we don't know the purpose of our lives, who we're working for, it can happen to any of us, and we can easily fall. Are we working hard and studying hard for God's glory? Are we raising kids in a way for our glory or for God's glory? If we don't constantly focus on God, we can also become proud, lose perspective, lose humility and integrity. So we need community brothers and sisters to keep each other accountable and ask us, is this glorifying God? I really respect and admire my parents-in-law. They're so humble, often serving in the background. My father-in-law worked hard all his life, and when he finally retired, he had different job positions offered to him in Asia, but he chose to go to Ethiopia with my mother-in-law, and they served there for 4 years. They were close to turning 70, and with different food, lifestyle, it wasn't easy for them, but they humbly served, obedient to God's calling. I'm sure the other jobs offered to him were easier and would have brought societal recognition as well, but they chose to glorify God instead of glorifying themselves. I learned so much from their humility and faithfulness. In Luke 18:9, Jesus shared the parable to some, here is the religious leaders back then, who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else and said, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." When we lose perspective and start to become proud, I hope we can remember our king riding on a donkey, humbly entering the city, knowing he's on the road to suffer and die for us. 3 times in the book of Mark, he predicts his death and tells his disciples that he will suffer by the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise again. Through his death and resurrection, instead of taking over the city, as some expected him to do, he came to change our hearts and prepare the kingdom for us in heaven. Jesus came to glorify Father in life and in death. As I was preparing for this sharing, it was a good reminder for me to know who I am working for each day. Sometimes making choices to glorify God can change our whole plans, or sometimes we have to make some sacrifices and let go of things that we like. But if we know we're doing it for the glory of God, we can stay humble and not be swayed by worldly recognition, success, or power. When we focus on God's glory, it helps us to be a little bit more patient with our coworkers, be kind to employees in the shops, and pray for those people who give us hard times, and guides us to raise our children in a godly way. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Not easy, so we need the Holy Spirit and community to help us stay focused on God. Now, let me close with a prayer. Jesus, thank you that you came to this world as our humble King, to die for us and to save us. Help us to be more like you, do everything to glorify our God and serve with a humble heart, be kind and gentle to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Of glory, coming Everything I am is for your kingdom cause. If we can focus on that in all that we do, that would quite simply be everything is for your glory. And we pray that in all the decisions, actions that we make, we won't make it more complicated than that. Yes, Lord God, this decision is for your glory. If we think about that, that would help us to make decisions so much more simply, even though it could be difficult to implement and do. But Lord God, yes, we need your abundant grace for that. For we cannot do it on our own. And yes, we also need your Holy Spirit to remind us that this is for your glory. This is what this life is about. We thank you for this reminder. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. May we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.